Hi, this is David Hoffner, and you found the hidden track. We thought it would be fun to isolate some tracks from the record so that you can hear some of Ondar's amazing vocal techniques. We also want to play for you some of the samples and the building blocks that I used to put these tunes together. Now, some of these sound bites have fascinating stories behind them, and once you've heard these stories, then you can go back and listen to the record from a whole different perspective. Now, Ondar sings in many different voices, and you might be wondering what his natural speaking voice sounds like. So here he is. He's going to introduce himself to you and tell you where he's from and remark on some similarities between Tuvan music and American music.
Eki ergin mejur, siler bugudening amır kadın aytırbışan, sol mendi çağı bolırınırını küzedim. Мен болса Азия диптің төвінде жетіп тұрар, тава деп күрінеден келген ұлыстың көмешізі қоңғырол ондардырмен. Америка дипте желе жұртан, индей, ковбой, кандри көкжімшілерінде қады ойнан ажылымны сілерге парал қадып тұрмен. Шутте ковбой!
Now notice how easily Ondar has assimilated American words like country and cowboy, he says country, cowboy, into his vocabulary. Now, even though it's important for him to continue the thousands of years of Tuvan culture with which he was raised, he's very open to new ideas, new influences. One of the funniest moments in making the record came when he sang the wrong words, and when we stopped the tape, he looked up and said, "Sorry, Jack." It was this openness and willingness to collaborate that made this record possible. There had already been records released of traditional Tuvan music, and so we really wanted to take the next step and create a collaboration between Tuvans and Americans, between old and new. And so that's what this record is all about. The original idea for this record started several years ago in my home studio. Now, I like to experiment with mixing sounds and musical phrases together. Sometimes sounds that are musically very different, but that maybe have a connection on a spiritual level. And so I took some 20-year-old recordings of the late Richard Feynman playing the drums with his friend Ralph Layton, and chanting nonsense syllables, and tried mixing them with recordings of Ondar's throat singing. Now, Feynman was the brilliant Nobel Prize-winning physicist who first sparked all the current interest in Tuva and who longed to go there someday. But sadly, he passed away before making the trip, so this musical experiment was my idea of what it might have sounded like had he gotten the chance to play music with the Tuvans. I slowed down the recordings of Feynman slightly to get them to the same tempo as the Ondar samples. At that point, I noticed a couple of things. That Feynman's chanting was in the same mode that the Tuvans do their throat singing in, but also that they were in different keys, about a whole step apart. So I composed the chord structure of the song to accommodate the places where Feynman would be singing, so that there'd be a natural transition between the two. Now listen to Feynman here. Now, it sounds like he's chanting in some exotic foreign language. But as you'll hear when we isolate his voice, he's pulling what used to be one of his favorite jokes, which was to sing English words with a strange accent to make it sound foreign. What he's really singing about here is his favorite drink, orange juice. He's saying, "Orange juice, orange juice. Give me a little bit of orange juice. I said juice, 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 juice." Listen. We want to teach you to recognize some of the different styles of Tuvan throat singing. There are three main styles. They're called sagut, hermé, and kargara. There's also a rhythmic trill called borbang nadur that can be used as a variation on any of the three main styles. Let's start with sagut, which is Ondar's specialty. The opening lines of song number 7, Two Lands, One Tribe, are sagut. It's easy to hear that there's a low note drone and then the high note melody created with harmonics. The chanting and Native American flute on this song are by Bill Miller, a singer and songwriter who's from the Mohican tribe. When we introduced Bill Miller to Kongarol Ondar, they had an immediate connection. And after the session, Kongarol gave Bill some Tuvan dice made of sheep bones, and Bill in turn presented Kongarol with a handmade Native American flute. Kongarol came running into the control room and spoke the most English I'd heard all week. He said, "Dave, 5 days recording, only one with Bill." He'd have loved to have done a whole week with Bill. Most people can hear two notes when they first listen to throat singing, but Hermé Borbang Nadur is a good style to begin to hear more than two. So let's go back to the first song on the record and listen carefully to Ondar's voice without any instruments. First, there's the low drone note, which is this one. Then there's the melody, which is up high with the harmonics. Now, in between those two, there's a middle note, and it's pulsating with a rhythm that goes like this. So far, you've heard several notes at once, but with no overdubbing of Ondar's voice. Now, there is a section of this song where we stack three tracks of Kongarol singing, and it sounds like this. By the way, Ondar always sings Hermé in the same key, which is in between D and E flat. He doesn't need a tuner for this, he just naturally goes to that pitch every time. The third style, and easiest to identify, is kargara. Now, Americans have all heard kargara because it's the same technique that was used to create the voice of Popeye. You can hear Kongarol changing the shape of his mouth and forming different harmonics. Listen to his vocal track by itself. Now, notice how the harmonics are forming the same melody played by the violas. Kargara Rap was another song that was created by juxtaposing recordings of Richard Feynman with recordings of Kongarol Ondar. We took a Tuvan tongue twister and then layered it with percussion, and then alternated that with clips of Feynman telling some of his great stories.
Fire, fire, and everybody get all excited because my hands are burning and they all run out. And that was the finale.
Since the song only contains short clips, here's the full stories that they were taken from.
A friend of mine by the name of Bernie Walker, he was a kid with me when I was about 11 and 12. We were both scientifically minded. We went to school together. We were very good friends. He and I sort of grew up together scientifically. And he had a laboratory and I had a laboratory. And we often played together and talked about problems in science and discussed things together. In fact, we had a magic show one time. We used to put magic shows on for the kids, chemistry magic. And we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of tricks, you know, turning water colors and stuff like that, you know, wine to water and all this. But he was a pretty good showman, and I kind of liked that too. So he put on a good show. And on each side of the little table were two Bunsen burners with what we call watch glass plates, you know, flat glass plates, rounded on stands, which had iodine on it. And you're heating out and made iodine vapor, which is a purple vapor, which is very beautiful, coming up on each side, you see, while all the whole show went on. Then the finale of the show, the very last thing, we had discovered something. If I put my hands first in a sink of water and then into benzene, then I could accidentally, make believe it was accidental, I'd put my hand in the flame of the iodine thing, and my hands would light up. I'd touch them together and they would both be burning. They're burning the benzene, but it doesn't hurt your hand because it goes out pretty fast and the water keeps it cool. So I wave my hands out, fire, fire, and everybody get all excited because my hands are burning and they all run out. And that was the finale of the show. By the way, I later told that story when I was in a fraternity, and the guys said, that's a lot of baloney, it's a lot of nonsense, you can't do that. So I said, all right, guys, let's go out and get some benzene and I'll show you how it works. And so they got the benzene ready and I stuck my hand in the water in the sink and put it in the benzene and lit it, and it hurt like hell. Because in the meantime, I had grown hairs which acted like wicks, which held the benzene in place while it burned, you see. Whereas when I had done it earlier, I had not had any hairs on the back of my hand. After I did this experiment burning my hands, I didn't have any hairs on the back of my hand either. And I used it up. That's incidental.
Some kids came to you a few years ago from PCC and asked if you'd talk to the physics club.
Oh, yes.
And you said you'd do it for no money. That's okay. As long as you didn't have to sign more than some number
that's
of times.
That's right. I'll tell you this.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
It reminded me of the same kind of kid.
It was the guy in charge. He was a science teacher or something. He came around and he was from PCC. And that's just what you said. He asked me if I'd give a talk there. And I said, well, that's the city college. He says, yeah. I said, I'll be glad to do it. He was going to offer me some money. There was some money. He was going to offer me some money. It was going to be $50 or something. Nice. This is nice. I said, but it doesn't bother me, the money. I said, there's only one rule, one condition on the whole thing, that I don't have to sign my name more than 13 times. And that includes the check. And he laughs. Ha, ha, ha. How absurd. Okay? Then it starts. I swear. I didn't expect it would happen either. I picked the number out of the hat, but I knew there's lots of paper. So first, I have to sign something that I'm loyal to the government, or else I can't talk in the city cop. And I have to sign a double. Okay? And then I have to sign some other kind of a release from the city. I can't remember what. And pretty soon, the numbers are beginning to climb up. At first, he's laughing. Then he begins to get a little bit nervous, you see. That he's going to ask me for more than 13 signatures. Some kind of a paper I had to sign that I was suitably employed as a professor. There was all kinds of things to ensure, of course, since it's a city thing, that no jerk at the other end was hiring his wife or a friend to come and not even give the lecture. And now it's coming near 11, 12, you know? And it got to a position where I think I had signed 12 times or something. I had one more for the check. And then it was the last one that he needed, and he came really sweating. He was very upset. He cannot give me the money unless I sign some thing that I really gave the talk. I said, but you were there. You heard the talk. If I sign that, I can't sign the check. If I can't sign the check, I can't get any money. So he says, look, he says, this is kind of a silly thing. I said, no, it's not a silly thing. I said, it was an arrangement we made in the beginning and you accepted it. He says, I've been working very hard. I've been calling all around. I've been trying everything. They tell me it's absolutely impossible. You can't get your money or it. I said, it's all right. I won't take any money. Well, that might help, but I hate to do this to you. I said, it's all right. You made a deal. This is it. And I just did a
crazy guy.
You made a deal. He says, yeah, okay. But I said, it's all right with me. I said, I don't need the money. It's okay. Don't worry. It's all right. So he calls me. Then he calls me up. They can't not give you the money.
Yeah.
They have already earmarked the money and they've got it set.
You have and to you've sign given over the call,
and the whole thing is they can't. They have to, you know. They couldn't take it back. There was no miscellaneous pot that you could say, the money that this man deserves that was supposed to pay him, but he won't sign for. There was no such a pot. So they went crazy. And I said, well, that's all right. If they have to give me the money, let them give me the money. And they went on. It was a long time. It was a very great difficulty. I don't know how he straightened it out. He finally did give some crazy way in which I got the money and signed the 13th signature to get the cash, the check.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess I'm just mischievous. I just love to do that to people.
Well.
Especially when they're so gleefully happy that it's going to happen, of course, 13 signatures. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, it's hard to follow a good Feynman story with anything but a wrap-up. So thanks for listening. Think Tuvin, and we hope you enjoyed this record.